The May OCM for the town of East Fremantle. Before we commence the meeting, on behalf of council, I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the traditional custodians of the land on which this meeting is taking place, and pay my respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging. Members of the gallery are advised that no council decisions from tonight's meeting will be communicated or implemented until 12 noon on the first cleared working day after this meeting, unless the council by resolution carried at this meeting requested the CEO to take immediate action to implement the decision. Thank you for coming, Maureen. I'm assuming you know everyone. I don't need to introduce people to you, you said? Yeah, I think you've... Fraser Henderson, yes. So, in terms of record of attendance, okay. Welcome. Okay. In terms of record of attendance, we have apologies from Mayor O'Neill and Councillor MacPhail. I think everyone else is in attendance. No, there's no other apologies. Okay. Disclosure of interest, financial, proximity, impartiality. Any disclosure of interest in respect to the matters to be discussed tonight? Okay, no one? Lovely. Public question time. Neil? Okay, responses to previous questions and members of the gallery. Neil? Okay. And now we're up to presentations and deputations. Good timing. Wendy? Who would like to come in first? I think you're both listed to present.
I'll go first.
Yeah,
I think you've started in 6 weeks.
We did. 2 minutes ago. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm representing the community members.
Could we put them up? Thank you.
Right. I'm representing the community members of the Town of East Fremantle Climate Action Reference Group, which I'll call CARG. I'm sure you're familiar with that. This deputation is in relation to Agenda Item 13.4, the Budget Parameters Report. In particular, it was the fifth dot point under consultation on page 44, which I presume you've got it there. I won't read it out. So the community members of the town's CARG are very concerned about the proposal that the allocation of funds for the Sustainability and Environment Reserve be deferred in the 25-26 budget. Furthermore, the period for which the funding is to be deferred is unspecified, with the recommendation that the funding level will be reassessed in future years. The town acknowledged the climate emergency in 2019, then in 2020 committed to the development of a climate emergency action plan, which we in CARG call KEEP, so I'll refer it to as KEEP tonight, and established the CARG to assist with the development of the climate action strategy and the KEEP. As part of this commitment, the town established the Sustainability and Environment Reserve to ensure funds were available to achieve the objectives of the KEEP. The foresight of the council in establishing the Sustainability and Environment Reserve has reaped significant benefits. For example, by ensuring that the council had funds available to meet the matching requirement of the recent Commonwealth Government grant for solar panels and batteries on council buildings. The addition of rooftop solar and batteries, I've just read the same line twice. Electricity for the East Fremantle Community Park is a significant ongoing operational cost. The addition of rooftop solar and a battery to allow electricity use to be managed under the cheapest tariffs will create significant ongoing cost savings for the East Fremantle Community Park, well beyond the short payback period of the Town of East Fremantle matching grant contribution. It would be ironic, therefore, if the situation were to arise whereby the allocation, removing the allocation to the Sustainability and Environment Reserve was meant that the town might have to fund an operating deficit for something rather than actually benefit the reap the benefit of having that those funds in place. The town has shown great leadership and commitment to working towards addressing the climate emergency. And this has been actively supported by the community members of CARG through initiatives such as Electrify 6158, community education through workshops, participation in the George Street Festival and other community events, and CARG members offering their specific subject matter expertise for free in both identifying grant opportunities and assisting in the preparation of grant applications. The KEEP is a multifaceted plan with council and community working together collaboratively to achieve the objectives of the plan. CARG community members look forward to continuing to support the implementation of the KEEP. We consider it is incumbent upon council to continue the annual contribution to the Sustainability and Environment Reserve so that funds remain available to enable council and the community to realise its vision for climate action in East Fremantle. As I've demonstrated already, that has we've got a really good example of how that money put aside will save money into the future. So the climate emergency has not diminished, and there is ongoing community concern within East Fremantle about the impacts of climate change. The community members of CARG call on Council in its deliberations on the 25-26 budget to retain the current allocation to the Sustainability and Environment Reserve. As I said, I'm representing the community members of CARG, all of whom have reviewed this deputation and supported it, with the exception of Fraser Maywood, who is unable to do so as he's away at the moment. But it has been considered by all members and supported by all members.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from elected members? Okay. I just have one. Maureen, you've read in that item that the expected increase by rates is 4.995. As a resident, do you consider an increase of that rate for the reason that you've outlined to keep the sustainability reserve? I guess do you think that would be something that you would accept?
Well, I mean, personally, I would accept it. I can't speak for anyone else in the town. Essentially, what you're saying is there's already an increase, and that if this reserve deferring didn't happen, then the rates might have to go up a bit more.
Correct.
And that may well be the case, but I think if you look at the cost and the lost opportunity from not having that funds there, I think that the political will at the moment is pretty strong for climate adaptation and mitigation purposes, and that there will be more grant opportunities available for Commonwealth and state funding, and that having that funds available for the town to avail itself of those opportunities would be such a lost opportunity. And as demonstrated through the East Fremantle Community Park, real money will be saved going into the future because of that sustainability funds, which probably would the matching contribution wouldn't have been available had it not been for the reserve fund. So I think it's I would hate to see the council being short-sighted and not looking at this fund as a real opportunity to leverage funding from other sources to position East Fremantle well to buffer the effects of climate change. I mean, we live on the river. We've got a lot of houses and that very well-used and loved community facility. If there were funds available for mitigation, adaptation, to make that strip along the river more resilient, and we could not meet the matching requirement because the sustainability fund was gone, that would be a great lost opportunity. And I think the residents of East Fremantle would look on it pretty unfavourably that opportunity had been lost.
Okay. Peter, I know because look, this item, that item's coming up later on this evening. In respect to what we are approving tonight, the actual final approval of what Ms Flynn is talking about, that's been dealt with at the next meeting, is that correct?
Through the chair, that's correct. So the matter being considered tonight is for council to consider the rates proposal for advertising purposes. Submissions need to be called for a period of 21 days, at which point council is required to consider any public submissions before striking the rate in the dollar as part of the budget process. So there will be an opportunity for council as part of budget adoption to reassess the proposed rates increase prior to the adoption of the budget. The proposed 4.95% increase is to provide for the net funding requirements of the town's draft budget as it currently stands, which does not include a transfer to the Sustainability and Environmental Reserve. I guess all things holding true, should council wish to consider a transfer to that reserve in the 25-26 year, it does remain open to council to consider a higher rate increase to fund that reserve transfer.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Any other questions? I'm looking around. If there's no other questions, thank you, Ms Flynn. Thank you. Wendy, would you like to...
Good evening, Council and members of staff, and I thank you for the opportunity to come and speak with you this evening and respond to the report, which I'm very grateful to have received last Friday, into the motion to the town at the annual electors meeting in January. I have sent a response to this report, and which I shall read, but I just wanted to begin by saying there seems to be that this issue of cycling in East Fremantle has been looked at through the lens of motor vehicles and money. So members of council and officers in the town who are involved in preparing the report, I thank you for the preparation of the report into cycle safety in the town in response to the motion I presented in January. And thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. Whilst it's noted that the report has been prepared with consideration of data on traffic volume and past audits into traffic flows in the town, as well as accident statistics, it's disappointing that no community consultation occurred with cyclists, nor with other stakeholders such as Richmond Primary School staff, students, parents, and to the best of my knowledge, local residents. I also raise the absence, following on from Mrs. Flynn, the absence of reference to the objectives identified in the Climate Emergency Action Plan as it was adopted in full by the Council, particularly with regard to the promotion of active transport in the town. I draw Council's attention to Strategic Objective 4, Transport and Community Actions 4.1, 4.12, 4.15 and 4.16, in which active transport, specifically cycling and walking safety, have been identified as priorities for the town. And I did attach a screenshot just as reference to those points. The recommendation that the town focuses on lobbying Main Roads and the Department of Transport with regard to safety, cycle safety and pedestrian safety at the southern approach to the Stirling Bridge is welcomed. And indeed, may I point out that there was a significant accident very close to that intersection just in the last 10 days. And you might note that if you traverse that intersection. Facilitating enhanced active transport in the short term could be a significant help in avoiding congestion during the disruption to traffic from the replacement Fremantle Bridge works. It would appear that in preparing this report, Council has been informed by the Integrated Traffic Management and Movement Strategy that was developed in 2020, I believe, to assist Council business and financial planning. May I request that the information in that strategy be made available to community members of the Climate Action Reference Group in order for us to be better informed about the rationale behind the recommendations. The report states that further scoping work could be undertaken if the budget allows, but that both capital works and strategic planning for cyclists need to be part of the annual budgetary process and long-term financial plan. I ask Council to note that no CARG reserve funds have yet been spent in this area, despite several of this Climate Emergency Action Plan actions referred to above being listed to commence last year in 2024. I suggest the scoping work be included in the prioritisation discussions at the upcoming workshop with CARG members. I also request Council note that expressions of interest are currently open to local government for grants of up to $25,000 under the WA Bicycle Network Grants Program. Staging of these for the next round includes assessment of EOIs in September and grants to be awarded in November. Given the budget constraints facing the town, a grant application should be made seeking an external consultant review of the plans referred to in the officer report. The traffic volumes mentioned on Fraser Street, which I believe were 1,700 vehicles, which would inevitably be reduced if the street could be calmed and made bicycle friendly. I believe that there had to be a statistic of 1,500 vehicles a day to justify lowering the speed limit and making that street cycle friendly. Surely a significant volume of this traffic are actually the vehicles that are bringing children to and from Richmond Primary School, and that would reduce dramatically if children felt safer coming to school by bike or by on foot. To conclude, I call on the Council to find the vision to be proactive on cycling safety in our town, to prevent accidents and to help achieve the objectives in the Climate Emergency Action Plan. Please do not let a tragedy be the catalyst to galvanise Council to act. Please let's put a fence at the top of the cliff rather than an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. I do not accept that the numbers of accidents are not a justification for acting on cycle safety. Those objectives in the Climate Emergency Plan were included at the bottom of that report. Thank you. I haven't mentioned Preston Point Road, but I believe we could have a town that could actually be promoting safe, non-vehicular traffic movement around our streets. And at the moment, we only have Riverside Road that has got bicycle lanes. What we're asking for is not expensive, and it's an imperative.
Thank you. Any questions from councillors? No questions. I too have a couple, and this is maybe to the CEO. Is there any reason why that those traffic plans can't be made available?
Through the chair, the first thing we would need to do is, subject to an internal review, is present them to council, and then council can determine once it's actually seen them what can then be made available to the public. Okay. So at the moment, it's just an operating document.
Okay.
That, we would have to go through a council process before it would go to the community.
Okay. Thank you. And further, I note, I know when you talk to us at the elected meeting, you're quite focused about certain areas within the town, but I'm hearing tonight what you're looking for is more of a complete review of how cyclists should be travelling in East Fremantle and through and by and so forth. Is that correct?
Well, I think that would take longer, but I think the use of an external consultant would be welcome. But I believe the installation of cycle boxes at the major intersections which I identified, which were Petra Street, Marmion Street, East Street, mm-hmm. It just involves putting some green paint on the road and realigning the intersection. And you will see it in every other, so many other local government areas. And I believe, Jacqueline, that Netherlands is a prime example, Fremantle is a prime example. It raises the awareness of motor vehicles to the presence of cyclists, and I don't believe this should be an expensive undertaking. It's something that makes an immediate impact and helps cyclists to feel safe. So yes, for a longer term review, but please don't let that stop there being some more short term action to ensure cycle safety.
Thank you. If there's no further questions, last call, no further questions, then thank you. You can return to your seat.
Thank you, Council. I appreciate the opportunity to come and present that.
Now, and look, so we'll consider each of those items as they come up. So I think some of them might come out really quickly, so it won't take, I don't think it'll take that long. Going back to the agenda. Apologise. I've only got the PDF version in front of me. Any application for leave? For leave of absence? Okay, Councillor Collinson?
Only from the 21st of May to the 19th of June.
21st of May, 19th of June. Anyone else? No? Can I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Wilson, thank you. And second, Councillor White. I'll put that motion. Anyone raise hands? Thank you. That's unanimous. Okay. Moving on to confirmation of minutes to the previous meeting, held on the 19th or the 15th of April 2025. Can I have a mover, please? Of the previous minutes. Thank you, Councillor White. Second, Councillor Wilson. Councillor White?
No further comments.
Okay. Councillor Wilson? Okay. I hear there's no further discussion on this matter. If there's none, then I please raise your hands to move the motion. Thank you. It's unanimous. Now, item number 10, announcements from the presiding member. Look, I'd just like to say just a quick word on Anzac Day. I attended on behalf of the town. The Lawn Barracks as part of the Dawn service. As always, it's a lovely low-key service, which is what I do like. The only disappointment was that it was closed to the public, and therefore we had people standing outside the fence, which was a little bit disappointing. And I asked the obvious question, and the defence personnel were also somewhat bemused by the security of that particular. But it was something that was implemented by the security contractor, and hopefully next year that can be dealt with. Okay, so. But as again, I did lay a wreath in regards to the epitaph, okay, with others with great respect to all those that have served for this lovely nations that we live in and enjoy. Item number 11, unresolved business from previous meetings. There's nil. Reports and recommendations of the committees. That is also nil. Reports of officers, item 13. So item 13.1 talks about the annual legislative meeting infringement discretion. Can I have a mover, please, for that motion? That's on page 14. Councillor Collinson, can I have a seconder, please? Councillor Wilson, thank you. Councillor Collinson.
Look, I don't think there's a lot to say on this. I'm quite happy with the officer's recommendation, and I think our rangers do a great job. And I actually have a more different view. I sort of think there should be less cautions than what there have been. There are a huge number of cautions given, and there are quite a few times, particularly with dogs off leashes, which I know particularly upsets my partner enormously. And given that she, with her dog attack that she had, she's scared stiff of dogs, and often they just get cautions rather than fines. So, but in general, I'm comfortable. I think they're doing a great job, and I think the community do support the job that they do, and I'm happy with the officer's recommendation.
Okay. Councillor Wilson?
Yeah, excuse me. I recall from the meeting that there was a perception from the community member that it was infringement first and then warning to be put on the back burner or not to be put in place at all. And I guess the statistics show something quite different. So I'm happy with the report as presented, showing that we do look to put out warnings first and educate the community rather than slap them with a fine unless it's warranted. Nothing further.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Was anyone like to speak against the motion? I do have just one slight question, and this is to the exec manager for yourself, Jack, is it? Sorry, I wasn't sure if it used to be the manager for planning. In regards to the yellow line and parking, obviously that is an infringement and will be. But when I was reading the report, can you just clarify that if that yellow line is at all, I guess, faded or okay, that is still treated as an infringement, and how would that be treated if a complaint came in, if it was faded to the point where it's difficult to notice? Yes.
Yeah, so yellow lines are normally provided just as an additional visual clue, cue. Okay. So in terms of those offences would either be clearly laid out in the road traffic code, or there would be signs in addition, and it's the signs in the road traffic code that provide that regulation, and the yellow line is just an additional cue so that it's bringing to the community awareness. But if that yellow line was not there, it would still be an offence. So it's not necessary to see the yellow line, but absolutely where there is a yellow line, it does lead into that perception that there's a reason. You know, there's clearly a community perception that that lack of yellow line or the inability to see it because it's faded or covered would be a reasonable grounds. But we don't consider it a reasonable grounds for the reasons I've stated.
Thank you. Any further discussion on this item? Councillor White?
With a bit of latitude, I think the community member that raised it is sitting here, and it was about a yellow line. Just for my own satisfaction, is there signage that supports a yellow line in your street?
Yes, there is signage. Look, I have decided that I don't want to take this matter any further and waste any more council resources on this matter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. There's no further discussion. Then I put that motion that's on page 14 to accept the officer's recommendation. Anyone for that motion, please raise your hand. Thank you. That's unanimous. Moving on. Item 13.2. Which relates to the resolution for the annual electors meeting in regards to cycling measures. Can I have a mover, please? A mover for the motion on page 25. No mover for the officers. Is there further information the councillors require? Okay. Sorry, I'll let you. So this is item 13.2 in regards to.
I would be comfortable to move the motion with a point 6 added.
So you're choosing to move a.
If Councillor is willing to accept that, then I would feel a bit more comfortable with a point 6, which basically includes point 2 of Wendy's original motion regarding the cyclist boxes.
So your point, Councillor.
So that would add a point 6, and the point 6 would be just incorporating exactly as Wendy's original motion had cyclist boxes.
Okay, as an alternative motion, can I ask for a seconder for that, or should we ask for officers' comments first?
If I may, through the chair, I think I just need to just check because obviously there's going to have financial implications. Not only initially, but to maintain, to communicate and to engage. So if council is of the view that it wishes to do that, my recommendation would be we provide further advice on what all those costs and implications would be to add in that additional point. So potentially the motion could be as written and to receive a further report on the costs and implications of implementing the cyclist boxes as proposed in the motion from the annual electors meeting.
Are you okay with that, Councillor Cunson?
Anyway,
we don't know.
I'm not opposed to that.
Okay.
You had to do something, yes.
Councillor Constance, can you put your microphone on, please? Sorry.
Yeah. Look, I think I've said everything, really. It's just that no one moved the original motion, so I thought something had to be moved. So that was what I felt more comfortable that at least that's, you know, the rest of it does, you know, investigate and it sort of, yeah, gives a bit of a wriggle room. But I think, to me, cyclist boxes are... not expensive, you know, really. I don't know what it costs, but given, as Wendy already pointed out, Fremantle have got them all over the place. You see them everywhere. And certainly on Canning Highway, I think it would be a very important safety feature. It does actually give cyclists a head start. It means the cyclists at the front of the traffic. So cars then have to take notice of cyclists. It works very well. And I think that's the reason for it. Putting
Can I just stop you for there? Can I have a seconder for the motion, please? I think Councillor Kerry Donovan as a seconder. Yes, Councillor Constance, continue. No, Councillor Constance, you got anything to add?
Yeah. Well, I think I kind of sort of have anyway. But I might as well go for the whole motion, seeing that I'm really moving the whole motion now. Cyclist boxes, if you are a cyclist, you'd notice them. They're all over the place. In Fremantle, we just don't have them here. Canning Highway is pretty dangerous. There's traffic lights at all of those intersections. And I think there already might be something at, on the Marmion Street from memory. I've got an idea. That, anyway, there is a cycle lane on Stirling Highway, so that's not as important as the Canning Highway. But it does provide a lot of extra safety. It means motorists are absolutely aware. The cyclists at the front of the queue, they get the head start. When the lights go green, the cyclists go first and the cars have to take notice, whereas it's just a free-for where the cars are in front and the cyclists are pushed to the side. And a lot of cycle paths also disappear when you get to traffic lights, which also adds extra danger, because suddenly you've got a cycle pass and then it just goes, and then the cars can move across. The other thing, given that I'm talking to the whole motion rather than just the amendment, I've never felt comfortable with Preston Point Road, because I know I was on council when that when we first did that traffic calming, and we had a lot of input from cyclists saying, why aren't we putting cycle lanes on Preston Point Road? And I know at the time we were told that there's not enough room, and those excuses were given. I still haven't been totally convinced that we can't do it, that this road is too narrow for cycle lanes. But anyway, that was what we were told then, and we're getting told that again now. But even now, I think it must be at least 10 years, probably longer, that that's traffic calming happening in Preston Point Road, and it did make it a lot safer. Cyclists now still are coming to me and saying, why haven't we got cycle lanes on Preston Point Road? Because a lot of cyclists go up and down Preston Point Road, a lot more than use Riverside, and it is a main commuter road. So I don't think that should be included in the motion, but I would like to think that officers could at least give some investigation into how we could incorporate that on Preston Point Road. Other than that, I'm okay about the recommendation, but I'm just a bit worried that it's just going to disappear and go nowhere. And, you know, because you know what main roads are like. You request this and request that, and they basically ignore you or give a standardised response, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Thank you, Councillor Constan. Councillor Donovan.
Oh, look, since I've been on the council, cyclists and supporting cyclists has been an issue, but nothing really has ever happened. So just looking at the motion, it's the amendment, I think it at least do something, and I only see that as a start. And I support the cyclist boxes. And I mean, I'd also like a bigger look at a whole range of different things and speed. There's a whole lot of things. But basically, I support the motion as it is with the amendment that has been suggested.
Thank you, Councillor. Would anyone like to speak against the amendment with the motion? Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, just for clarity, I'm not speaking against. I had a number of questions and I guess some further information that I require before. In particular, to points one and two, I note from the briefing last week or two weeks ago on the crossing, these two locations are going to be significantly impacted by the road amendments that are going to be made as part of the crossing. That's why, whilst I'm in support of these actions, I question the impact that the roadworks that are going to have on any improvements that we are trying to make in the short term. And whilst it's not a great outcome that we delay it because of the major roadworks, I'm trying to understand what thought has gone into that, because as I understood, there was two lanes going in as a left-hand turn at the intersection where that barrier was going to be put in place. So I'd hate to see us put in a barrier, or main roads put in a barrier, only to have it removed because a second lane was going in. And I note that three of those streets are going to see significant impacts with either additional lane turnings, additional traffic calming measures being Preston Point Road to Canning, East Street to Canning, and Marmion Street to Stirling Highway. So my question is not against. Fundamentally, I am supportive of the motions to improve cyclist safety. I was questioning more the timing and the thought that had gone into based on the briefing that we only received 2 weeks ago. Thank you.
Okay. So I mean, I guess to yourself, Jax. comment on the timing?
Yes, through the chair, I think what we'd do when we're looking at any of those considerations, we'll make sure that the impact of that is considered and that we give the options around what we can do either during or post and a recommendation as to which is the most effective.
Okay, so what we'll get back in regards to the information, that will then clarify those points.
Yep.
Okay, yep, happy with that? Oh, not really, Wendy.
Go towards the bridge.
Yeah, okay.
The existing barrier is, and that wouldn't be affected by any changes in traffic lanes.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else that wants to speak? Thank you, Councillor White.
Thank you. Look, I was pondering the deputation, and I guess the comment about an external review of cycling broadly within the town. And understanding that, you know, that needs to also accommodate thought in relation to Fremantle and Melville as adjoining councils. And I do see some merit with that, rather than for a long-term perspective, rather than a piecemeal approach, because I do think cycling is a particularly important activity within the town and it's going to grow. And I'm just pondering, you know, the motion as it stands and whether or not we could support an external review subject to getting a grant funding for it. And I would, you know, that was a part of the deputation I thought was, to me, probably the most relevant out of all. It's all important, but I think looking towards the future for a planning document. As I'm talking, I'm forming the view I might propose another amendment, if I could, please.
or maybe Councillor Constant might...
would like to further amend his, yeah.
To add a some sort of strategy document in regards to it.
Yours is the motion.
Yours is the motion, Councillor Constant.
What?
Okay. So what would you like to amend in regards to? Let's give Janine some assistance here. Your microphone, Cliff. Sorry, Councillor Carlson. Kerry, just the microphone. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were speaking. Okay. My understanding of what Andrew said was that council, just trying to think of how to put that, could investigate. Could you say that again, Andrew, what you said?
Certainly. I said that the council should look at a complete review of cycling within the town, subject to securing funding, and that review should be from an external expert.
Yeah. Right. That's what I could work with. Review of cycling within the town, subject to
external funding.
Yeah, by an
external
party.
If I may, councillors, my dilemma is that we've just done a lot of work on developing our corporate business plan and allocating all of our time and resources, and this is something that hadn't been contemplated. We'd need to look at what we can do with the resources we have and whether that means something else is going to have to drop off, because we only have finite resources to undertake a number of these studies, so this would be something we'd need to think in the reports which are coming to you quite soon, because we've finalised the draft corporate business plan as to whether this is now to be added to that.
Yes, Councillor.
I was suggesting that the review would be supported by external funding, not coming from within the existing resources. So that was a caveat on that.
through the chair, and I'm not wishing to enter into debate, but I appreciate that, but it still takes time to write a grant application, determine engaging somebody, should we get that funding, and then manage that particular process. So there are implications for the town, and whether this is now bumped up a priority or bumped down another priority is something council would need to consider once it looks at the corporate business plan.
Yeah, that leaves us in a bit of a pickle, I think, because like I says, we're at the cusp of all our planning. So while we'd like to do it, the timing of the overall review may not suit. So it's.
If I may offer an alternative solution, it's certainly we could pick up the intent and effectively develop a business case that would then be considered into the next cycle of our, sorry, pardon the pun, of our corporate business planning activity, because we've effectively set for the next year. Obviously, if we can bring to you something that we can do with the cycle boxes and council agrees to that, and if it's through 25, 26 funds, but then to undertake the other processes would need to be something we'd need to consider for subsequent years. So it's still picked up and it's just considered at a later date.
Are you happy with that, Councillor White and Councillor?
Probably not the order. I'd still rather Mike not make 6 and point make 7 and just have the
reason behind that is that I don't think there are big cost implications in painting green boxes on the road. So I don't think that's going to greatly affect our budget. I still believe that is something that we can do now. Yeah. Now, the other thing about the total report, yes, that's going to cost more and it will take a lot longer to do. So it's just, for me, it's a numbering. I would like to think that if this gets passed, that we can move fairly quickly to the cyclist boxes, but not necessarily move so quickly on the complete review.
Okay, thank you, Councillor. Do we want to add in the business case scenario?
I'm happy to, councillors, but I think point 7 on its own gives sufficient direction to undertake that process. The mechanism of doing that through a business case and so forth is separate to it, but that's the headline that council wants to look at that. We would then need to come back to you about when and how and so forth.
So is everyone's clear? So we've added item 6, item 7, where 7 it may potentially occur at a later date once it's been set into the path. Any further discussion? Anyone who wants to talk against either the substantive motion? Okay, Councillor Awood.
Thank you. I just want to kind of raise a similar point to Councillor Wilson, just the fact that we kind of talked to Main Roads a couple of weeks ago about the fact that they want to do changes to many of the areas that are mentioned in the resolution, in the recommendation, and we kind of don't know the extent of what they're going to do. They did talk a lot about changes to pedestrians, how they were going to facilitate better crossings for pedestrians and for cyclists. And I guess, I'm sort of concerned about how that's going to work together. And then also in terms of the cost of the green boxes, I'm not convinced that that would be not a great cost to the town. I'm not sure if any of the officers have any insights on what that has cost other local governments. But, I guess those are my two main concerns.
Okay. My understanding of 6 and 7 is that we will receive that information and then determine it from that point. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So we'll receive that information, and if it is different to that, then we'll determine it at that point in time. So that's my interpretation. No further discussion. Councillor Constance, would you like to close the debate or whatever that was?
Look, I think I've said what I want to say. Just in answer, Councillor Maywood, that's been my concern as well, is Main Roads are very unlikely to do anything because Main Roads are just about vehicles. They don't generally care much about cyclists or pedestrians. That's my belief. I still remember those stickers at bumper stickers that people used to have in the past, you know, stop the mad roads department, and I thought that really said it all because they are very much a law unto themselves. So I think if anything really gets done, it's going to have to be done by our town itself.
Okay, lovely. Councillors, I'll put to your attention the substantive motion as well as the amendment on the screen. If you don't have screens in front of you, the screen behind you. Okay. And I put that motion. Everyone for the motion, please raise your hand. And that's unanimous. Thank you.
Need a reason?
Self-explanatory with that reason.
Explanatory with those reasons. Yeah. Do we have a reason.
we could put the reasons council wanted to further consider the motion from the annual electors meeting and reflect what it could actually do now.
Okay, so just hang on, Janine. So just to clarify, the reason put was that council wishes to further consider the motion in regards to the annual electors meetings, with the view to consider the other options more than okay. So okay, thank you. Moving on, 13.3, 128 George Street, change of. Is it change of patronage or
patron numbers and car
parks? Patron numbers and car parks. I think the motion is on page 36. Can I have a mover, please, for the motion? Councillor White. Seconder? Councillor Maywood. Thank you. Councillor White.
Look, thank you. I read this report with interest and the proliferation of saunas and ice baths within the town is I find curious. However, I think the amendments here or the application is minor in nature, and I think the report speaks for itself, and I'm happy to support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Maywood?
Yeah, similar comments. Yeah, I thought the report was very thorough, and, yeah, the change is minor, so I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Would anyone like to speak against the motion? I say okay. Silence. Therefore, if there's no discussion, no further discussion, Councillor White, would like to close. Okay, thank you. I then like to put that motion as noted on page 36. Anyone for the motion, please raise your hands. Thank you. And that's unanimous. Thank you. 13.4, 2025-2026 budget parameters report, as described, and on page 55, which is the motion. Can I have a mover, please, for the report budget parameters? Councillor Wilson, thank you. Can I have a seconder? Councillor White, thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, I'll speak to it. Listen, the report's once again extremely extensive and well prepared, Peter. So thank you and your staff. You know, we went through this a couple of weeks ago, and whilst no one likes to see rate increases, they are, you know, becoming more prevalent in society to meet the cost of pressure on living, and whilst we're trying to keep them low for the residents, I do also recognise that the costs flow through to council to operate. So I think 4.95 is a measured increase to cover our ongoing operating expenses, and I'm hopeful that we can deliver that with some excess, provided we get good revenue streams coming in from the East Fremantle Community Facility. One thing I just wanted to be refreshed on, and I guess it was a question in support of my motion, I recall the amounts going into, I forget the name of the Strategic Reserve Long-Term Fund. I guess it was a question around the Sustainability Fund, because I see that fund still available to fund any sustainability initiative. So if I may ask a question in support of my motion, what that was on an ongoing yearly basis, off the top of your head for the next 3 or 4 years. Thank you.
So through the chair, thank you for the question. Through council's adopted revenue strategy, there was a policy decision to allocate 1% of gross rate revenue into the sustainability and environmental reserve. So that equated to an annual amount of between $90,000 to $100,000 in the long-term financial plan. However, given the operating trading result for East Fremantle Community Park, we've effectively had to rebalance the long-term financial plan, which didn't assume any ongoing requirement to fund an operating subsidy, as well as, I guess, funding a contribution to the sinking fund from general funds. So based on the draft budget that we've received from Belgravia, it is highly likely that the town will be required to fund an operating subsidy over the next few years, as well as fund the sinking fund contribution. So that may equate to between $300,000 to $400,000 in additional annual funding that we'll need to find, which wasn't contemplated in the long-term financial plan last year and the revenue strategy when council determined the rates pricing pathway. So in June, the long-term financial plan and rating strategy will be presented to council, which will effectively discuss those points that I've just mentioned. There will be an opportunity in the 27-28 financial year, based on the current draft long-term financial plan, to reconsider funding levels into the sustainability reserve. Effectively, we're coming off a very low base with net funding from operations of around $950,000 in next year's budget. So that's all that we have available to fund our capital works program, as well as, I guess, pay down the loan principal for the East Fremantle Community Park loan. So in order to increase reserve funding levels in outward years, we certainly need to increase the net funding position, and that can only be done by increasing operating revenue relative to operating expenditure. So we do have a fairly significant challenge over the next couple of years to consolidate, ensure that we're constraining costs as much as possible whilst optimising revenue streams. So it may well require for council to review the current policy decision in relation to quarantining 1% of rate revenue as a transfer to the sustainability reserve, and the opportunity will present over the next few weeks to revisit that when the draft long-term financial plan and rating strategy is presented to council.
If I may, through the chair, just add to that. Clearly, after this report, should it be adopted, it comes back to council, and council can review the advertised rates and determine to increase to consider whether or not we do actually transfer to the sustainability reserve. But going to, I think part of your question was the strategic asset reserve we've established, and I can't recall the details of that, but we did consolidate a number of reserves into that, and it's, to me, it's whether the purpose of that reserve would enable us to fund works other than asset-related capital works from that reserve for what has been actions identified in the Climate Emergency Action Plan. So it's a question of us double-checking, and Mr. Koshin might know off the top of his head what the purpose is, but equally how much we're transferring into that and whether or not that could be drawn down to fund those activities should we not have the Sustainability and Environmental Reserve.
Yes, yeah, so through the Chair, the long-term financial plan does incorporate significant transfers into the Strategic Asset Management Reserve from the 28-29 financial year, with probably an average amount of $500,000 a year transferred into reserve through to the end of the 10-year plan. So that sees approximately $6 million accumulated in the Strategic Asset Management Reserve. So given that level of funding available, certainly there is an opportunity to, I guess, reassess the allocations to reserve funds, which may include reducing the amount into the Strategic Asset Management Reserve and transferring them out into the Sustainability and Environmental Reserve. We do have a cashback reserves policy, which talks about the strategic intent of our reserves, and acknowledging the question or the statement earlier that I guess one of the strategic purposes is to ensure that we have available funding to leverage funding opportunities when they present. And you know, we have been fortunate that we have had money available in reserves to capitalise on grant funding opportunities. However, we do see that opportunity reduced during the 25-26 year. Given our financial constraints, our total reserve balances will reduce to around $1.6 million by the end of next financial year. So, you know, in terms of our fiscal strategy, Council should certainly be considering an opportunity and a strategy to increase reserve balances over the 10-year life of the long-term financial plan, and we see that commencing probably from year four.
And you have a further question, do you, Councillor Wilson?
Just a clarifying question. The two programs that have been cited this evening, the solar panels and electric charging stations, actually the second one wasn't cited, but the conversion of the street lights. In your view or opinion, would those two funding activities be eligible to be funded out of the Strategic Asset Reserve Fund as assets that are being improved?
Through the Chair, I guess very much depends on the reserve purpose that Council determines through the budget process. Based on the current definitions of the reserve, the solar and battery project most definitely could be funded through the Strategic Asset Management Reserve because those installations are concerned with council-owned buildings. The street lighting LED replacement project probably wouldn't be consistent with the current purpose of reserve, given that we don't actually own the assets. They sit with Western Power. So if Council wished to use the reserve for such a purpose, we'd probably need to broaden the definition of the reserve purpose to allow that to occur.
Councillor, I think Councillor White, you second that motion?
Nothing further. I'll wait the report.
Anyone who wants to speak against? I've got a few comments to make, and I'm not speaking against the motion, because the motion before us is to see what is being advertised. What's been advertised is 4.95 that relates to the operation of the of our budget, okay, and doesn't necessarily relate to the sustainability issue that we've just talked about. I think the sustainability issue itself is a consideration that the community will express its view over the advertising as well as maybe elected members. The three points I'm going to raise here is, and the reason why I'm going down this line is that, one, we do not know what Belgravia are offering us in the new budget for the next year. We also do not know what the outcome of going to be for this year in regards to the football club, in regards to what revenues they bring. These are two unknowns that we have, and with those unknowns, we have get out of our contract terms available to us. So considering long term views around things that we may change in the next 12 months, it is a consideration in my view. This decision that we're making here tonight on 4.5 is really simply a 12 month window. Considering long term financial plans carrying the football club with losses is something that I'm not going to be supportive of. So if we're thinking financially we need to be doing that, then I think we need to reconsider more than just the sustainability issues associated with our budget. In respect to one of the comments that exec manager made, I don't think we're fortunate in having the money there. That was good planning. I raised that motion some years ago. It was always going to occur. And I have to also congratulate Miss Flynn and the CARG because of the good work they've done, which they'll continue to do as long as they've been supported around this. I think there are items that are going to be on the priority, and unfortunately we haven't done the priority setting for the task around the CARG, and that will bring other items that aren't going to fit the purpose of the asset. It's not going to fit the purpose, just like the streetlights aren't going to fit the purpose unless we do a. So the issue with the stability reserve, I think, is going to remain. How much money we put in there is a different question altogether, and that will be dealt with at a later point in time. So I haven't said I'm not going to support this this motion before us, but I would expect that at a later point in time when this comes before us. When we have more information, when we do meet with Belgravia and understand what they're looking at for their budgets next year in regards to what that oval is going to be costing us, noting that it's cost us potentially over $1 million this coming year, that going forward is not a pleasant pill to swallow. Okay, so particularly not at the cost of ignoring our climate action activities. Okay, so obviously I take our financial our fiduciary responsibilities to heart, but we also need to consider some of the cornerstones of what the climate action, which is making our planet better for our children and our grandchildren and all that, and having these reserves is one way, one small way that we can do that to safeguard planting more trees, safeguarding the work that we may need to do with the cycle ways and better transports. So I do accept the report as is. But I've taken a measured view about what other information that might become before this council, before I consider what the full rate will be, in addition to the 4.95. So I'm not suggesting it's going to be less than that, but also considering what else we may need to consider on the back of the information that we have yet to see. So that's my little two cents worth, if you can take that. Me getting off the soapbox. Any further comment, Councillor Wilson? You moved this. Would you like to close?
No, nothing further.
Okay. Nothing further. Then I shall put the motion that's before us on page 55. Everyone for the motion, please raise your hands. That's unanimous. Thank you. Okay. I think we're all done. You're most welcome to stay. Moving on to 13.5, the adoption of the capital works budget on page 80. Can I have a mover, please? Oh, Councillor White, Councillor, and seconded by Councillor Wilson. Thank you, Councillor White.
Thank you. I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation. We know about the constraints, or very aware of the constraints financially within the town at the moment, so getting this done and keeping the capital works rolling is pivotally important. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Wilson?
No, nothing further to add.
Nothing further. Anyone who thinks different? Want to speak against the motion? Okay. If there's no one speaking against, then I shall put that motion. Everyone for the motion on page 80, please raise your hands. Ginny, councillor. Okay, thank you, councillor Huffman. Thank you. That's unanimous. Item 30.6. And this is where I don't have. And this is the motion in regards to fees and charges. Schedule fees and charges for 25 and 26. Can I have a mover, please, for the motion? Councillor Wilson, thank you. And seconded, Councillor White. Councillor Wilson.
Report speaks for itself.
I think so.
Increasing the rates on fees and charges. So nothing further to add.
Councillor White?
Nothing further.
Yeah. The only comment I'm going to raise here is that I do like what you've done with parking, Peter. Okay. Okay, let's go with that. Let's go with $25 for the Lewin. Okay, any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, then I put that motion. Hang on. And what page number is that?
88.
Page 88. Thank you. Page 88. Everyone raise a hand, please. It's unanimous. Thank you. 30.7. Our extension to our library contract. Cover mover, please. Councillor Wilson, thank you. And seconded, Councillor Collinson, thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, I know the report only looks to extend it for another 12 months, which I think is prudent so that we can do a little bit more investigation. It's interesting on the membership numbers that are presented and the amount that we're paying. To get a little bit more insight on that will help us make some more prudent decisions, I think, in 12 months' time. That being said, the facility is an amazing facility that is valued by the community. And based on the rough figures, it's costing in the region of $1.95 million to run, based on the ratio for the calculations in determining our fees, getting an understanding of what goes into that 1.95 would help us, I think, in the future to see if we are getting value for money on that service. Thank you.
Councillor Collinson?
Nothing further.
Okay. Would anyone like to speak against Councillor Harrington?
It's probably more clear than anything.
Councillor, can you put your microphone on? Thank you.
If you have a look at the number of people that are supposed to be accessing it, 734, and then you divide that up, it comes to $202 each a year. Now, I understand that it's probably could be with regard to books, or it could be technology, it could be toy library and any other number of things that you would use it for, but that seems an excessive amount, and that 734, I think, is members, not necessarily people who are using that facility. So I agree with the mover that we should follow this through for another year to get some more information on who is using it and what sort of use it's getting. And also, I would personally prefer to see Glide In have that money and put what I understand under the Act that we have certain obligations, but it does allow us to actually get other people to possibly fill the gap, or maybe, and we could look at that. But, you know, if Glydion had the capacity to have another $148,000 a year who could support a toy library and perhaps some of the technology issues and others. Maybe that would be something we could look at doing, but I'm not sure that that sort of money, and I know it's a great facility and all those sort of things, but if it's not being used, then we've got other things we could use that money for.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Councillor. Just a few queries on the back of that. While I understand we contracted to pay X amount of dollars, when we set that number, I understand that we set that number, that there's no legal liability for us to pay any specific number. Is that correct?
Through the Chair, that's correct. There's no formula that determines how much you're supposed to pay. There is guidance and advice. I think the what was that report we were talking about earlier today? PricewaterhouseCoopers. That's right. They have established a value, but that it is not defined as to how much you're meant to pay as a contributing body to another local government. And part of the review will enable me to provide that advice to council and explore whether there are alternatives. Even though we have 734 active members of the Fremantle Library, my advice is we have more members of the Melville Library, from East Fremantle, using the Melville Library. So, and they're not getting anything. So whether or not we'd be better off to be quiet and stay with Fremantle or not, we need to look at all those options and whether we continue to be a participating body, because the other aspect to this is even if we weren't required to provide a library service, it doesn't preclude any member of the town being a member of any public library. So there's options available to council to determine the value, the location, and whether or not we should be providing this at all.
Yeah, just for clarity, when this first came up, would it have been maybe 7 years ago? And I raised it. The amount that we were paying was in excess of $300,000 to Fremantle, and I remember what the papers said about the town, the town at that point. It just needs to be fair to what we spend the money on. Yeah. So. My other question is, I'm assuming there's no other changes being made to the contract terms other than the time?
Okay. Correct, just a time frame.
Okay. And how long do you think you'll need to take to bring that back to us?
Through the Chair, it's just dependent on workload. I've indicated in the report that we would want to make sure we present it to Council prior to the end of the upcoming financial year to give sufficient time to Fremantle, which is meant to be by August, but I would hope to bring that earlier if there is going to be a potential change to how we're doing things. So probably the first quarter of 2026 would be my anticipation.
Thank you. Someone logs the councillor. Councillor, can we?
I certainly support having a review and looking at it. But I totally agree. Most people I know don't go there because of parking. They do go to Melville. You can go to Perth Library. You can go anywhere to use it. And I think it's time that we give them notice, et cetera. But I wouldn't support going on, actually.
Thank you. When I was like speaking... OK, Councillor Wilson, would like to close the debate?
Nothing further.
Thank you. Nothing further. I put that motion that's on page 96 as written. Everyone for the motion, please raise your arms, and that's unanimous. Thank you. Item 13.8, meeting schedule for June, December, as listed on page 115. Do we want to introduce the...
We have received that from Councillor Collins.
We have received an amendment, have we not, Councillor Collinson? Are you raised? Okay, can I have a mover, please, for the motion before we consider it? The schedule. Thank you, Councillor White. Seconder? Councillor Wilson, thank you. You won't? Then they'll second it, okay. As is. Councillor White.
I move the motion so that we could start discussion, and I'm interested in hearing the amendment if that's possible.
Okay. Councillor Clonson, your amendment.
My amendment is to add a section 3. That the meetings of the Works Committee be held bimonthly on the fourth Tuesday of the month, that is the 22nd of July, 23rd of September, and 25th of November.
Okay. Do we need a seconder for that motion? The amendment?
Unless the mover concedes to that.
Correct. Are you happy with that, Councillor White?
I'm happy with that.
Okay, and so am I. Okay, lovely. Thank you, Councillor. Would you like to talk to the substantive motion? Speaks for itself.
Look, I think in respect to the Works Committee, I do think it's an important committee, and it has become an important committee for the council and the administration to share some of the challenges, and also to inform the council about important works and important things that are on the horizon. So I do see great value in it. Thank you.
Thank you. As a seconder, look, it's good to have good planning in regards to when these meetings are taking place. I also concur the importance of our outside crew and in regards to what the town looks and feels like is absolutely critical to our lovely town. While we're small, that doesn't mean we can't have the roads, footpaths and parks that we've been used to for so long, and hence why we've always been fully supportive of the works area, and therefore anything that we can do to assist that through this process, through the meeting, should be something that we should look at. So I endorse the amendment with the other motion. As the seconder, anyone who disagrees, who would like to speak against the motion? No? Okay, there's no one like to. If that's the case, you're happy to close, Councillor White? Well, Councillor Donovan? Councillor, sorry. Because we are being recorded.
So the motion with the amendment.
Yes, correct.
Oh, yeah, no, I support the motion with the amendment.
Okay. Okay. Councillor Clonson, would you like to speak to the motion at all?
I think it's already been said. I just think, as councillors, we're mainly judged on what we see outside. So the Works Committee is probably in many ways the most relevant. I get asked questions nearly all the time about what about this, what about that. And I just think it's a very worthwhile committee to be informed, so that when community members, I know when they ask me questions, I can give them answers with some sort of knowledge. And it's just good to have that access and to the officers. I know we can ring Hayley and get a little bit, but it's best to get it straight from the horse's mouth, I think.
Okay, thank you. Councillor White.
Thank you. Look, I'm happy to close discussion. There's nothing further to add. Thank you.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, then I'll put that motion with the amendment on, I think it was page 115, and just to remind councillors, it includes the adding the Works Committees as a bimonthly on the fourth Tuesday of the month. Okay. So everyone for the motion, please raise your hand. And that's unanimous. Thank you. 13.9, election of presiding members to standing committees. I don't think we've ever had this before, Jonathan.
It's new.
It's new.
It's a new requirement of the Act.
I was going to ask. So it is a new requirement?
Correct. It came as part of the Local Government Act amendments, which required now that council must appoint presiding members from the 1st of July. So clearly we need to do from the 1st of July through to the October, and then subsequently it will be at post-elections.
Okay. So, Councillor...
We pre-filled out three who are currently the presiding members. The two that are blank, they don't currently have presiding members appointed, but it is open to council as to whether they wish to change the names that are listed there.
Okay. Lovely. Councillor White...
Look, thank you. I'm happy to move a motion. Although I'd like to maybe amend, there's clearly a very unintentional typo in the makeup of the Works Committee, if that could be so amended.
Typo, apologies for the.
Where are we?
That was an unfortunate typo. S rather than W for Councillor White. We'll amend that in a minute.
Yeah. Point three to for the
number. How does that get through spell check?
Councillor, where are you?
Well-known agitator, that councillor.
You should change your name to that, Councillor White. You might get a bit more comments. Okay. No. Okay. So, in regards to the process, are the elected members who have been prior presiding members, would they like to continue?
What's the process? Just saying, Councillor.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And Councillor Conson, as a planning. Okay. Actually, before we continue, we need a seconder for this motion. So, sorry, Janine. Can I have a seconder for the motion? Thank you, Councillor Harrington. Moving forward, though, we also need a presiding member for the Behaviour Compliance Committee and also the CEO Performance and Review Committee. Do we have anyone interested in any one of those?
If I might just offer through the chair as well that, albeit not formally appointed, informally, the Mayor was effectively chairing the Performance Review Committee, and it may be appropriate for him to be appointed to that.
I think, given he's not here, well, we all support it, I think. So this is... Oh, gotcha. Okay. So that's the CEO Performance is the Mayor. The behaviour, we have three members on that committee, who can pick and choose, which is Councillor Andrew Maphail, Kerry Donovan, Councillor Kerry Donovan, or Councillor Jenny Harrington.
Councillor Donovan,
please, yes. Okay. Okay. Happy with that, Councillor Donovan? Lovely. That's coming, yeah.
Through the chair, there's no requirement at this time to have an independent chair. That will arise following the elections in October.
Yeah. Okay, after all that humour and confusion, is everyone happy with those names? On your front screens or on the large screen? Yep. Okay. I think Councillor White, you happy to?
Yes, I'm happy.
Okay, thank you. If that's the case, please raise your hands if you're in support of that motion. Thank you. On page 115. No, sorry, on page 134. Must be getting close to the end. 13.10, monthly financial report. Could I have a mover, please? For the monthly, can